I'm in a part of Florida that'll be familiar to anybody who watches TV or the movies. South Beach provided the setting for Scarface and The Birdcage. One of its main thoroughfares, Ocean Drive, was celebrated in a Lighthouse Family song. Do you remember that? It's probably best known, though, as the backdrop for Miami Vice. South Beach is the area filled with trendy bars, fancy nightclubs, where clubbers queue on the pavement, hoping to be allowed past the velvet ropes. People are here for a good time. Latin rhythms fill the air and dance beats blare out of passing limos. The fun, relaxed atmosphere is infectious. But for me, the district's design really stands out. There's stunning Art Deco apartments and hotels, alongside an incredible, long, wide expanse of sandy beach.
Miami Beach definitely stands out the most because of that Art Deco feel that you see throughout all the architecture. It's really nowhere else that you kind of see in downtown Miami where it's newer construction. We kind of have that history.
It's not a long history. The district's just over a century old.
This was really, 100 years ago, nothing more than a barrier island, only reachable by boat, and it was a mangrove swamp. The island itself is 6 miles long and about 2 miles wide at its widest point, but it is 65% wider than it was 100 years ago because, of course, it's all infill.
It's worth explaining that South Beach is a district of Miami Beach, and that's next to Miami. The distinctive Art Deco design buildings sprung up in the 1930s.
In 1932, then President Roosevelt signed what they called the New Deal. It was to kickstart the economy over here, and one of the things it gives Americans for the very first time is paid vacation. And this is when all the Art Deco hotels started to be built in this area to cater for this generation of people on vacation for the first time.
As you walk along the beach, you'll pass through different zones, from water sports areas watched over by lifeguards in wooden, white and red watchtowers 20 feet above the sand, to areas where clothing seems almost optional. There's a gay beach too, marked with rainbow flags which flutter in the onshore breeze, and fitness buffs work out and pose along sections of the promenade. At Lummis Park, people play volleyball, and there's a cluster of South Pacific-style thatched huts beneath the towering palm trees. I actually saw an iguana the size of a small cat dart up the trunk of one of the trees. It's a great people-watching place. You'll see it all, from overworked-out muscle machines to drag queens to little old ladies with tiny dogs on leads.
You can go all the way to the southernmost point, and there's a pier down there, so 18 blocks away. And it is worth it.
In Britain, we don't have blocks. So
okay.
How many minutes can you walk for?
I would say about 30 minutes. Yeah, a lot of beach, but absolutely worth it. Beautiful, maybe right after a long day of laying out, having a couple cocktails, walk the beach, see the sun go down. Stunning.
At the end of South Beach, you'll find boardwalks cutting into the sandy dunes, which front a 17-acre park. The recently refurbished metal pier struts out, and it offers an incredible 360-degree view of the beach and the Art Deco district. Or turn away from South Beach, and you'll see the high-rise skyline of Miami across the water. In the mornings, cruise ships pass the pier en route to the Caribbean. And it's a great sunset spot. The pier remains open from 7:30 in the morning until sunset. For more people watching, with an orange juice on the side, I've headed to the News Cafe. It's a magazine and paper shop mixed with a restaurant, lined with photos of famous diners, and there's also a pavement-side cafe looking out towards the beach on Ocean Drive. It's a local institution. Versace had just left here when he was murdered in broad daylight 20 years ago. This area was quite dodgy for a time. In the 60s and 70s, the small hotels turned into boarding houses. Crime became an issue. Some properties were quite run down and could easily have been demolished. So architecture lovers owe a lot to people like the civic campaigner Barbara Caputman. She formed a group to save the distinctive buildings and successfully got the equivalent of Grade 2 listing in the UK for special properties in an area of 1.5 square miles. If you want to learn all about South Beach, you need to book a guided walk from expat tour guide Paula Fletcher. She owns ArtDecoWalks.com, And it's that style of architecture which she says attracts many visitors.
They love these sugar pastel coloured buildings, which is interesting because when the buildings were built, they were all in the main painted either white or off-white or left the natural colour of the concrete. But by 1979, when the area was listed, a man by the name of Leonard Horowitz, he said, if we paint these buildings in pretty pastel colours, they will photograph better. And of course, he was absolutely right, because the first people who came in were the original series of Miami Vice with Don Johnson, and the only reason they chose this area was because of the pastel colours of the buildings, and of course because the area in the 1980s was still rather run down and a little bit seedy, and so it lent a sort of gritty realism to the proceedings.
Well, I stayed at the 200-room Shelbourne Hotel, a picture of Art Deco design. It's a white tower with soft corners and those symmetrical metal windows from the era. It's striking in its appearance. It looks like something straight out of the golden age of Hollywood. At night, the white circular portico above the hotel entrance lights up in pink, and the Shelbourne's name glows in a neon-style light.
This was built in 1940, and when it was built, the Shelbourne was the hotel. This is where all the big bands played. This is where Miss World and Miss Universe competitions were held. And the sign, the Shelbourne sign that you can see up at the top of the building, the S is 50 feet tall. You wouldn't believe it, would you?
Marissa Marcus from the hotel says they've retained the original appearance during the recent refurbishment.
There's two sections to the hotel. One was built in the 40s, and then following 10 years later in the 50s, they built the front of the hotel. Everything that you see on the exteriors of the wall is original. Pretty much everything that is inside has been renovated. They did a $180 million renovation 4 years ago. Everything that you see was kind of based off that 1940s, 50s glamour. They really wanted to bring that nostalgia back for when you walked in, you felt that, you know, like movie star glamour from back then.
The guest rooms are also decorated in 40s style with symmetrical patterns on wallpapers, lots of angular chrome and Oscar-like figurines holding globe-style lights. Marissa says her decorators watched old films to make it feel and look authentic.
So they watched movies that kind of, they picked different wallpapers and things that really had that vibe and that energy from back then.
At the rear of the Shelbourne's an inviting turquoise pool. At the beach end, it features a sleek white Art Deco diving board with a rounded platform, which seems to lean forward like the bow of an ocean-going liner. At the side of the pool are white wooden hideaways, private rooms with sofas.
The cabanas is a great concept, especially something that Miami Beach you'll see in a lot of different properties along the ocean. It's a nice little retreat to come and kind of experience a little bit more luxury. You have your privacy, you have your own little area you can watch TV or get, you know, food and beverage service.
You can learn more about South Beach architecture at the Miami Design Preservation League's museum. Daniel Seraldo is the Historic Preservation Officer.
So our Art Deco Museum is meant to show visitors the different styles of architecture here in Miami Beach.
Their collection shows how South Beach developed and also features the stories of people responsible for its creation and then later preservation. Daniel says one exhibit puts the scale of the Art Deco area into context, and it's the museum's most popular piece.
The map that we have of the city from the 1920s, hand-drawn map, that's kind of a fun thing to look at how the city was originally plotted. Luckily, a lot of the buildings are still here.
Another distinctive building style looks more like something you'd find in Spain. Española Way is a leafy, pedestrianized street of bars and boutiques set inside pink stucco buildings with Spanish tiled roofs.
It's a Spanish village, and it almost looks like it's out of a movie, and it's a very popular area for people to visit. Spanish Mediterranean architecture predated the Art Deco architecture. Unfortunately, there was a hurricane in 1926 that ruined a lot of the original Mediterranean buildings, and so while that was a horrible thing that happened, the new style that replaced those buildings was Art Deco.
When you visit Española Way, look out for the Clay Hotel. It's where Al Capone's gambling syndicate was based. In the 20s and 30s, Miami Beach was the biggest legal gambling destination in America.
They had to develop some kind of way of letting you know they had a casino on the premises. So what they did is they would use a symbol in their terrazzo floors. And any time you saw an arrow or anything in a floor design that was really leading you in, arrows, chevrons, anything at all that made you want to follow it, invariably that would lead you through to a casino.
You can book Paula's tours at artdecowalks.com. If walking in the Florida sunshine sounds exhausting, there is a free trolley bus around South Beach. And then, if you're staying at the Shelbourne, you can relax at your own private beach.
You get your lounge chairs, your umbrellas. There's different sports that you can do as far as jet skiing. You know, if you want to try paddle boarding, which is kind of a new trendy thing.
When the sun goes down, South Beach's night spots spring into action. And I grab the chance to dine outdoors.
Good evening. Welcome to Nautilus Cabana Club. My name's Shane, I'm going to be taking care of you tonight.
The Nautilus Cabana Club features a modern, stylish bar set on decking around a pool. It's lovely when it's lit by lanterns. The food's Middle Eastern with some European twists.
Can I start you off with still, sparkling, or ice water?
Miami's community is diverse, and the different nationalities who've made the city their home have greatly influenced menus here. We'll discover what's good and where to eat affordably. And we'll visit one of the modern art wonders of the world next.
Great Destinations Radio Show.
This is the Great Destinations Radio Show from the most stylish part of South Florida.
If you're interested in architecture, if you want to stay in beautiful hotels, if you like a low-key vibe with a lot of music, a lot of palm trees, parrots, and just a real fun place to be. You can't really beat Miami Beach.
Grace Della moved to the States from Argentina aged 19 and worked for a healthcare website for years. She started operating food tours in her own time at the weekends, but now her business Miami Culinary Tours has expanded into a 7-day-a-week operation running 15 separate 2.5-hour walking tours every day in different neighborhoods like Little Havana, South Beach, and Little Haiti.
I think we are one of the top, you know, culinary cities in the States.
Miami's menus are a real melting pot of cultures.
It started with a lot of folks coming from Central and South America, bringing their food tradition, and then people in the food industry really modifying that, bringing, you know, those dishes that Mama used to make in the kitchen and giving them a twist.
And for the true taste of Miami, Grace says your meal must contain a fried or boiled banana-type fruit.
Plantains are a staple in Miamians' table, okay? So I will say something with plantains, you will smell cumin in every street in Miami. And then, of course, the Cuban sandwich.
That's a sandwich made on bread similar to a French stick, and it's quite meaty with ham, roast pork, and salami. As we chatted, an ice cream van drove past. Don't they sound different to ours? And that prompted me to ask, what's on offer for visitors with a sweet tooth?
Tres leches, which actually translate to three milks, like a cake that you put all sorts of different stages of the milk. So condensed milk, then evaporated milk, then regular milk. So tres leches will be a classic.
Eating out in Miami need not be too costly.
Miami can get very steep if you don't know where you're going and you end up at a place paying $30 for chicken wings. That's a no-no in my book. Bolivar, for example, that's a place that it's in South Beach, great location, but that's where locals go. And you can get a, you know, three empanadas for less than $10.
I was watching the TV news this morning on Channel 4, and they had a restaurant review at 6:15 in the morning. Are people obsessed with food here?
Yes. We were ranked the number 10, you know, food city in the United States. You go into Little Havana and you're walking on the streets and all these windows, we call them La Ventanita, are baking empanadas and tequeños and croquetas. This city really likes to eat.
You can find Miami Culinary Tours online. After lunch, it was time for art. The Wynwood Walls Project has used the exterior walls of six separate warehouses as giant canvases. It's said to be the greatest street art collection assembled in one location on the planet. 70 artists from 20 different nations have used this canvas 85,000 square feet of wall space.
It's covered top to bottom, corner to corner. Poles, sidewalks, stencils, spray paint, brush, murals. You know, you have it all. And not only do you have the whole gamut, but you have the best of the world that does it. And they're all here. And it's everything. There's a woman who knit stop signs, and there's people that, you know, do stencils of poems on the floor.
Artists are invited to add their works within the walls.
If you look around, you'll notice that there's little plaques, there's a security guard, there's floodlights, you know, at night it lights up. This is a gallery, an open-air gallery.
The Windward District on the outside is also filled with art.
There's facades of buildings and people just painting on them.
I mess with Pedro Amos, who'll show you around this massive arts area, pointing out the highlights. He's known for his graffiti and is invited all over the world to create artworks. He's had so many graffiti working holidays, he's invented a term for it.
Spraycation.
How does he define graffiti?
Graffiti's about the letters. You know, you have to be a letter architect, a letter engineer. Capital A is three sticks, one up, one down, and one across. Well, make the one on the left kind of whip around into an arrow. Make the one in the middle connect to the one on the side and maybe, you know, have a little bit breaking off or, you know, have it connecting to the next letter. And we call them pieces, short for masterpieces, but your piece should look just as good in silver and black as it does with a plethora of colors because it's all about the actual letter. Graffiti doesn't have to be illegal. Graffiti is so solicited. It's not taboo anymore.
This former industrial area was run down and dangerous, but was transformed thanks to a foundation set up by a visionary property developer, Tony Goldman. He believed that art could transform blighted communities. It wouldn't have been wise to visit this area a little over a decade ago.
You would be accosted, mugged, offered drugs, potentially, you know, see a fight or get in one. This area was in decline for a very, very long time, from the mid-80s, late early 80s to, you know, right up until 15 years ago.
You can book a tour with Pedro at miamisbestgraffitiguide.com.
I've been doing graffiti for 20-plus years professionally. And so not only do we know art, appreciate art, do art ourselves, but we know the artists. These are people that we hang out with.
Another art stop is the city's showcase gallery, the Perez Art Museum, or PAM. They're a showcase of modern and contemporary art, and it's always changing. The museum's set in a 20-acre park right next to the bay. You can grab a taco from the PAM Cafe Verde, as I did, and sit in one of the hanging nets, which act as vertical hammocks, sip a beer, and look out at the marine traffic passing and the road vehicle taillights of cars crossing the twin MacArthur Causeway bridges, which link Miami to Miami Beach.
On the back of the museum, there's a beach, what we call the beach, where you're right in front of the water with this in this big terraza.
The purpose-built PAM Museum was designed by Swiss architects and has been described as spectacular by the New York Times. It's a sleek three-story building featuring thin pillars and overhead crossbeams, which make it look like it was built from matches. The architects arranged plants and greenery to appear to pour down between the latticework of the canopy slats.
So there's beautiful gardens that are hanging.
Like Spanish moss coming down, isn't it?
Kind of, yeah. It certainly have that type of spiritual feeling, but of the 21st century.
That's PAM's Maria Ortiz. You know, there's 2.5 million people in the Miami area, so everything you'd expect from a major city is on hand, with the added bonus of the beaches. I'd certainly stay in Miami Beach or at South Beach again. Everything that makes this city special can be enjoyed for free here. Just grab a seat along a sidewalk and let the show come to you. You'll see the eccentric, the avant-garde, and the alternative file past. I saw rollerbladers pulled by dog leads and a woman in a fur coat and shorts in summer within seconds of sitting down. And then, of course, there's a street art and amazing architecture. You can see all of that for free. You won't need a pair of skates yourself, just pack your shades and soak up the sights of South Beach. Multiple airlines fly from the UK direct to Miami, with flight times starting at just over 9 hours, and one-way fares from £210. Find out more at miamiandbeaches.com.